Welcome to Labor Talks, a podcast by NJASAP and for NJASAP that shares important news and information that you consume on your schedule. Labor Talks will tackle vital topics like safety, contract administration, the labor management relationship, and how to navigate life as a NetJets pilot. And we will bring this information to you with the help of experienced union leaders, industry consultants, and subject matter experts. Whether you listen in your car, on the treadmill, or while working on tasks around your home, Labor Talks is a worthy investment of your time and attention. Join your fellow pilots and advocates as Labor Talks. Welcome to Labor Talks. I'm your host, Claire Carey, and with me today is Military Affairs Chair Captain Peggy Carnahan. Join us as we celebrate our fellow veterans and discuss the captivating history of the Military Affairs Committee. Peggy, thanks for sitting down with me today.
It's my pleasure, Claire.
Before we get started, I'd like to acknowledge your military background. You retired from the Air Force as a lieutenant colonel?
That is correct. So back when dinosaurs roamed the earth, they opened up the military academies to women, and I happened to be fortunate enough to enter the Air Force Academy when they did. And one of my female classmates, Ann Fletcher, is also a NetJets captain here as well. So you've got two of the 80s ladies on our pilot list. From there, I went ahead and wound up flying in the Air Force. And due to my timing compared to the repeal of the combat exclusion law, I wound up staying in trainers the whole time, flying ejection seat aircraft that way, since I couldn't get to a combat aircraft. I retired at about 20 years as a lieutenant colonel, and then 7 days later started American Airlines, where I stayed for about 3.5 years, got furloughed, and then came to NetJets.
So how did NJASAP's Military Affairs Committee come to be?
After a couple of years in NetJets, and that was sort of an interesting time, 2004, 2005 contract, and then we're going into 2007-08 and all the turmoil there, our communications at NJASAP started getting a little more sophisticated as far as the program going, as Elizabeth started refining everything and making it just wonderful. And there was, I think it was a Veterans Day salute that came out. And of course, the company put their little token blurb out, but the one from the union listed several members that they were saluting. And I go, well, there's way more than that. And I'm just the people I'd flown with, I knew there were more military than that on the list. So I started kind of going through the list and a few other things. And I talked with Elizabeth and she goes, well, give us names and we'll include them. And then that started the whole search for it and realizing that the company didn't track who had been military either. So with that, that was the genesis of this veterans database we now have that Madeline is maintaining so well. And we started expanding it to just putting out a Veterans Day and Memorial Day recognitions, or tributes, I guess is a better word for it. Along the way, it became apparent, talking to the stewards, that there are a lot more military issues that arise for folks taking military leave and deconflicting them with NetJets duty. So I was walking down the hallway at the old NetJets NJASAP headquarters one day and got stopped by Pedro and Elizabeth and asked if I would take over the Military Affairs Committee that they were starting up. And it included, I think at the time I had George O'Brien, Jared Pollack, but we had just a handful of us there. And that was the start of the Military Affairs Committee.
So what year was it that NJASAP actually developed the Military Affairs Committee?
I'm thinking it was probably about 2013, 2014, somewhere in there. Looking back at for the fact that I was walking through, I was actually at the union headquarters, and I know it was the old union headquarters, so that would put it somewhere in preparation. We were in the 2015 contract talks, is the only other reason I would have been in that building then. So that would be about 2013. So it's been in existence for about 11 years and started as just doing a basic, let's track who's been a veteran, to now assisting members with all kinds of duty questions, taking care of families in connection with the NJASAP family committee, and taking care of our deployed members as well.
So prior to establishing the Military Affairs Committee, our current and former military members were definitely lacking representation. How would you say the pilots benefit from the Military Affairs Committee today?
We have been able to smooth out the process for arranging your military leave and deconflicting it with your NetJets schedules. So that, especially for the new hires, they're sitting waiting for IOE. And there's a big pay differential between whether you've got military pay or you're getting NetJets pay as well. So to try to maximize their NetJets pay, as opposed to taking the pay cut for the military pay, if you can make it so that you can do both, we've been able to smooth that out as well. And then for the more senior members, to make it easier for you to juggle your military duty, your NetJets duty, and your personal life as well. Because sometimes you've got just too many demands on your time and you have to be able to prioritize, and sometimes something has to give.
Let's talk about who on the seniority list benefits from our Military Affairs Committee, the obvious ones being active and retired military members.
Well, we've got the Guard and Reserve members, the retired members, the former service members, the veterans, basically, all there. We have a few folks who are sort of overlapping their active duty time with coming to NetJets, usually when they're on terminal leave. We've helped them a couple of times. But we've also got the members of who've worked for NOAA and for the U.S. Public Health Service. They also qualify as veterans. They get veterans benefits. And thankfully, one of our members pointed that out to us this year, and we are now are making sure that we're including them in all the military affairs umbrella.
So today, Monday, 11/11, we are celebrating Veterans Day. And while I know Veterans Day is celebrated every year on 11/11, could you speak to the origin of Veterans Day?
Well, you hit on a bit part of it. It's 11th month, 11th day. And it was originally Armistice Day back in 1919, following the end of World War I, and then at the 11th hour, everybody was supposed to have a moment of remembrance for those who served or perished during World War I. In 1954, it became Veterans Day because obviously we'd had two more major conflicts, and it continues to be celebrated that way. And this holiday recognizes those who have served. In contrast with Memorial Day, it's those who have given their life in service to their country. So there can be living ones here and not. And then in Memorial Day, it's those who actually made the ultimate sacrifice.
Peggy, how can our members pay tribute to the veterans we have on our seniority list, not only this year, but, Veterans Days to come?
Well, right now, thank you for this shameless plug here, for our Veterans Day salute. It's gotten bigger every year, and it's just wonderful to see. Our members, and we've now have some family members, have made submissions to be included into this publication. And some people are highlighting themselves and their service, and some are highlighting friends and family members and mentors and people who have touched their lives. We've got fiancés, we've got spouses that they're being honored. And it's just so wonderful to read these tributes and the impact that people have made on so many of us as just guiding us through our lives and our professional careers. And the photos, some of them are just really tremendous. It really gives you an insight into when you see some of these folks that we fly with take military duty and you find out they're in the military, you get a little glimpse into some of the stuff they do. Not everybody is a pilot. We have officer and enlisted. We have flyers and non-flyers. And we've got some people doing some really cool stuff. So when you see this one, you're going to see views out of the back of a C-17, out of a helicopter, out of just all sorts of things that these folks have been doing that is just tremendous. And you realize just what a varied background our pilot group comes from. So many different experiences, civilian, military. And you also realize that a lot of these folks who are not pilots in the military, they either use the military as a way to further their career, to gain experience, to gain maturity. If you're fresh out of high school, that's not unusual. And then they went on their own dime and time to become pilots in the civilian world. So they have both experiences there with it. So we've got such a rich tapestry of background in our pilot group. And this is just one little facet of it. And it's really fun for me to see all the differences in the variety we've got.
That is super cool. And with all of that being said, we can learn so much from the person sitting next to us on the line. I definitely encourage everyone, if you find yourself flying with a military member, ask them a few stories, see what they have to say. You might learn something or you might be entertained.
I've got a little anecdote for you that takes that even further. I was flying with a non-military, a fellow PIC one time, and he was sort of quiet, hard to kind of get any conversation going. So I just started talking about a project I was working on that was associated with the women who flew in World War II, the Women's Air Force Service Pilots, or WASP. And he immediately perked up, pulls out his phone, starts scrolling through his photos and everything, and then shows me this picture, this beautiful woman, black and white pic photo. It was his mother. His mother was a WASP. And I said, you're kidding. And it turns out he has all of her archives, all of her books, her logbooks and photos and on and on. And he didn't know what to do with them. I've been able to, just through that, besides getting to actually put my hands on her yearbook from her WASP training, which was exceptionally cool, I've gotten him connected with places where he can place her archives for research, connected him with other kids and family members of the WASP, just on and on. And so now I've even connected him with the daughter of his mother's best friend and classmate for whom he was named. And they've been able to connect just through this networking type thing. So you never know who is sitting in that seat next to you and what kind of story, and this is true whether it's military or civilian, what kind of cool things they've got in their lives if you just want to take some time to get to know the person you're flying with for the week. Another short story is probably one of our most distinguished and memorable veterans that were part of the NetJets family was Colonel Jerry Driscoll, who retired several years ago from NetJets. He had been a POW in Vietnam. When he came back, he finished his career in the Air Force and then flew for American Airlines and retired from there and then came to NetJets. And he was flying the Citation 10. And you would never know who he was unless you knew who he was, because he was the most down-to-earth, wonderful man. He was a mentor to so many of us. And when he retired, and he stayed in touch with, I know the negotiating committee kept getting emails from him all the time encouraging us during the 2015 contract talks. When he passed away, so many of our members submitted tributes to him that we had, I think it was probably about a 10-page package of just short tributes that people put together in their emails that we sent on to the family, and they were so appreciative of it. So we have a rich history of military service as part of the NetJets legacy here, and he's just one of those that stands out.
Aside from the Veterans Day tribute, how can our members support their fellow pilots who were or are in the military?
Very easily, Claire. We can purchase a patriotic tie or scarf from the Brooks Brothers website and wear that. And you can wear that for any patriotic holiday that your tour touches. And if you look at the crew policy manual, I believe it's laid out in there fairly clearly which holidays qualify, which amazingly, as Joe Lovati determined, includes Labor Day. So I figured if the company wants us to celebrate unionized labor as a patriotic holiday, wear your tie, folks, wear your tie. So it's coming up here on Monday is Veterans Day. So wear your ties there for that. And the part of the proceeds of these sales go to charity. And that's true for the breast cancer awareness, the holiday themed or winter themed ties. and the patriotic ties. A portion of those sales goes to charity. I did inquire as to what charity benefits. I've been given the typical Joint Committee facepalm as far as we'll get back to you. So once they decide to start communicating with the Joint Committees again, we might actually have an answer for that. Typically, it's been pilots for kids. I don't know if that's still true or not. But if I do find out, I will make sure I share that with the membership of where the proceeds for both the patriotic tie and the winter tie go to.
Is there anything you feel someone coming into NetJets, coming into NJASAP, should know about the Military Affairs Committee?
If I could say for the new members coming on our seniority list who are military members, a lot of them are on probationary year and they have military duty requirements and they're concerned about how that impacts their status with NetJets. Your military duty is protected by USERRA, which is the Uniformed Services Employment and Reemployment Act, Employment Rights and Reemployment Act. So you are protected by law for any of your military duty. And that law guides everything. And we are very fortunate that we have a strong legal team, NJASAP, to help back you up if there are ever any questions. Your stewards are probably the number one source for assistance if you have an issue with it. But never fear for your job because you have military duty. There might be times when the company is asking you for paperwork and such that you just don't have at the time. Go do your duty. We'll figure out the paperwork later. So if you have any questions, your first point of contact should be the steward on duty, and then you can reach out to the Military Affairs Committee, and we will jump in and help you as well.
That's great advice. Thank you. Peggy, thank you for your service to our country and, of course, our membership. And thank you to all the veterans, both on and off our seniority list. To those of you listening, thanks for joining us on today's edition of Labor Talks. If you're interested in learning more about today's episode, want to join the Military Affairs Committee, or have your veteran status included in the veterans database, please send an email to milaffairs@njasap.com. That's milaffairs@njasap.com. NJASAP is hosting social gatherings called Chillin' Chats at high-trafficked overnight hotels. Join us for our next Chillin' Chat at the Crown Plaza, Peachtree City, Thursday, November 14th from 6 to 9. Come for great and free food and conversation with your union advocates. In addition to the Chillin' Chats, we invite you to join us for Fly-In Fridays. No, not that sort of fly-in. This is an evening of good fun, tasty bites, and sipping your favorite beverage with your union leaders, friends, and family. The next one is November 15th at Jekyll Brewing City Center location, just 30 minutes from PDK. Can't wait to see you there. Thank you for joining us today on another episode of Labor Talks. If you haven't already done so, please follow NJASAP on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at NJASAP. Share your support for the union with comments, likes, and shares. If you enjoyed this episode, encourage your fellow NJASAP members to tune in. And please share recommendations for future podcast episodes with us at podcast@njasap.com. Stay tuned for our next episode. And until then, this is Labor Talks, presented by NJASAP.